Praise God, this world thinks we're crazy, spending our life looking at stuff you can't see. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I got a glimpse of that stuff that this world can't see. I'm glad there's no place I'd rather be than in the house of God when God's presence is manifested. It's like medicine to a sick soul. It's like water to a thirsty soul. Boy, I tell you, we need it in these days. And certainly, I appreciate the singing tonight. I appreciate the meeting last night, how the Lord helped us. Y'all made it easy for me to preach. And I used to preach for one of my pastors that's in heaven now. And every time he would introduce whoever was preaching for him to the pulpit, he'd always state it like this. He'd say, I'm going to ask him to come on. And said, now, let's make it easy for him to preach. And he said that because he knew that you have the choice of making it hard on him to preach. You have the ability to do either. You can either make it easy for him or you can make it hard for him. And so I appreciate folks that make it easy for you to preach and good liberty. And I appreciate the Lord, appreciate His goodness and His grace, and what a blessing it is just to be in the Lord's house. If you have your Bible, turn with me tonight to the book of the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. And I'm going to read a few verses tonight and give you a simple thought that God has laid upon my heart for this hour, Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. And I want to begin reading in verse number 8. Of course, here in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, we see a picture of Christ and His bride. We see a picture of the bride and the bridegroom. And here in verse number 8 of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, the Bible says this, "The voice of my beloved." I want you to notice that exclamation mark there. It ought to excite us when we hear the voice of the Lord. I mean, it ought to really stir you when you hear Him speak. Now, I'm not like Oral Roberts. He's never spoke to me audibly. And by the way, I don't know if he did to Oral either, but anyway, I do know that there's been times in my life that it was unmistakable that God spoke to my heart. He said, "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, and the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land." Father, we thank You tonight for the reading of Your Word. I pray, God, that You would help us tonight, encourage those that are here. I pray, would You use Your Word to be a blessing and a help to Your people here tonight. Father, thank You for the good songs that stirred our soul already tonight. I pray now, Lord, may You have Your will and way in every heart and in every life. And Father, we're going to thank You for what You do. Thank You for what You're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask these blessings tonight. Amen and amen. I'm interested tonight, as I've read this passage here, of the interaction of the bride as she's anticipating the bridegroom. As she begins there, you find in verse number 8, he said, "The voice of my beloved." It is noteworthy that it ought to bring excitement to us when we're hearing from the Lord. I don't know about you, but that's what this nation needs tonight, is to hear from God. We can hear from men and we can hear from all avenues of life, but I'm going to tell you something. What will help you, what will help your family, is when you hear from the Lord. Amen. And I thought about that. When you think about that, he's talking here, and he not only talks about hearing the voice of the beloved, but then he says in verse number 9, my beloved is like a roer, a young hart, like a deer. Said he comes quickly. Behold, he standeth behind our wall and looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. In other words, they're looking, said, you know what, every now and then he comes, and I don't see all of him. It's like a deer. You're looking out the window and you can see it through the lattice. He said, I get a little glimpse of him every now and then. I hear his voice, and then I get a little glimpse of him every now and then. Boy, I'm going to tell you something right now. It will stir you up when you hear him go to talking, and then when you get just a little glimpse of him, amen. Every now and then God will allow us just to get a little glimpse. We couldn't handle all of it. We're in natural bodies. We couldn't stand it if he showed us everything about himself. But praise God, every now and then he'll give us just a little glimpse and a little taste. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. He said, not only, he said, I'm excited about it. I hear his voice, and I'm excited when I get a glimpse of him. But I'm going to tell you, you'll really be excited when you understand his plans for you. Verse number 10, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Amen. There's coming a day. They sang that song, I believe he's coming back. Like he said, there's going to come a day when we're going to hear the voice of our Savior. And he's going to say, rise up, my fair one, my love, and come away. Hallelujah. And we'll be singing that old song, goodbye, world, goodbye. Amen. Aren't you glad, praise God, that we have a Savior who loves us tonight. And he has some plans for us tonight. Amen. Oh, the excitement here is because of hearing his voice. The excitement's because you got just a little glimpse of him. The excitement's about knowing his plans for you. And then the excitement is when you understand you belong to him. Verse number 16, I didn't read it tonight, but in verse number 16, my beloved is mine, and I am his. That right there ought to, if that don't crank your tractor, your battery's dead. To know that not only Jesus is mine, but I am his. I'm glad tonight, praise God, I'm glad he purchased me on the cross of Calvary, paid the sin debt, and he loved me enough. The only thing he ever bought was us, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm his and he's mine tonight. But in this here, the writer Solomon comes on down and he says this. He says in verse number 11, he says, for lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, and the flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of birds has come. Solomon's saying the cold winter is past, the harshness of winter, the difficulties of winter have now passed, and it's time for the flowers. We're in that time right now. Everything, new life is springing forth. And he says this, he said, the rain is over and gone. He's excited about the fact that the dark clouds have lifted now. The rain is come and gone. And now he says the time is come for the singing of the birds. I was at home a couple of years ago, I guess maybe three or four now. It was in a springtime, much like we are now. It was a little bit earlier in the year, I guess. Things had just started to green up a little bit, and it had been a hard, cold winter. And
it was one of those mornings. It was a beautiful morning. The sun wasn't shining. It was raining that morning. As a matter of fact, it was a slow, steady rain. But it was one of those days. It wasn't a storm. It was just a slow, soaking rain. I've always been one. I love to sit on the porch when it's raining and just look it over. It was a quiet morning that morning. And I was at home that day. And I said, I'm going to go out on the porch. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to watch it rain. And I was sitting there just meditating on stuff. That soaking rain, the green grass, the green leaves are budding forth on the trees. And as I was sitting there just thinking about a lot of things, all of a sudden, I heard a bird begin to sing in the trees. And it was so pronounced that it caught my attention. Matter of fact, I stopped thinking about what I'd been thinking on, and I wasn't focused as much on sitting on the porch now as I was. I was captivated by the song of this bird. Matter of fact, I got to the point I began to try to figure out where the bird was. I didn't know what kind of bird it was. All I know was this. The song was so pronounced. The song was so clear that it captivated me that morning. As I sat there on the porch, now my focus was entirely upon this creature that God has created that is doing what God created it to do. And what really struck my attention was this. This bird wasn't just singing. This bird was singing in the rain. I said, any bird can sing when the sun shines. Any bird can sing when there's no dark clouds on the horizon. Anybody can sing when all is well. But here's a bird in the midst of the rain and the dark clouds are still hanging low, and yet he's singing his song. He don't even know I'm listening, and yet he's singing. Yeah, the reason is he's singing because he wasn't singing to me. He was singing to the one that made him. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad as the children of God. I thought about this. I'm preaching on the subject tonight on singing in the rain, looking for a brighter day. That bird was simply telling you this. The harsh winter is past. Oh, the hardness and the difficulties that you've been through is gone now. And it's time for the flowers to grow. It's time for the grass to grow. It's time for a new day on the horizon. Can I say to you, I'm glad we as God's children can still have our song in the midst of difficult days. I got to thinking about singing in the rain. That morning, that bird song had so captivated my mind that I said, there has to be more to this than what I know. So I got curious. I went in the house and I got on the internet and I Googled birds singing in the rain. And a lot of stuff came up. Finally, a thing came up, a man who had done a study on birds, and he had written a paper about birds singing in the rain and why it was such a special thing. I began to think about that. And when I thought about this, we as God's children, we're His creation, and what better time for us to sing our song than in the dark day that we're in? You say, preacher, things are bad. Things are bleak. The dark clouds are looming over us. Yes, it is. But let me tell you something right now. What a great day for God's people just to sing not to this world, but to sing to the Creator that made us. Hallelujah. I'm glad we can still sing our song. Praise God. You see, singing in the rain exemplifies the life of a child of God. You study your Bible, David was a man who knew what it was to sing. Matter of fact, David wrote songs. I had a preacher with me one time and he made this statement. He said, God gave David some of his best songs on his worst days. And I thought about that. Ain't that just like God? for His children. Whenever you're going through the worst day of your life, God will put something in you. He'll put a song in your path. He'll lift your spirits. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, it exemplifies the child of God to sing in the rain. Amen. Oh, God made us. He didn't just make us for the sunshine. He didn't just make us for the mountaintop, but God made us His children for the low places and the valleys and the songs that will bring comfort in the hearts of people. All those songs. You know, one of the greatest things that comforts me when I'm in a low place? A song. How many of you have been comforted by a song in your low place? Amen. I had a man contact me today from Alabama. Pastor in Alabama. Never met this man. And he said, "Preacher, I just want to thank you for that song you wrote. I found a faithful friend." He said, "I had to stand by the graveside of a dear loved one," and said, "I sung it at the graveside of the family." And he said, "I want you to know what that song's meant to us." I got news for you right now. You can still have a song because it exemplifies the life of a child of God to sing in the rain. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, we don't just sing when things are well. But hallelujah, some of the greatest songs we have are those that come out of deep trials and those that come out of deep heartaches. But hallelujah, it exemplifies the life of a child of God. I mean, that's what God created us to do. He didn't create us when we hit the valley to fold up our tent and go to the house and say, "I'm not ever going to do nothing again." No, He created you like He did Job, that when he had lost everything, he's sitting among the ashes and he's scraping the boils off his body. And his wife said, "Won't you curse God and die?" He said, "You talk as one of the foolish women. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Amen. I'm glad He's a God that created us to sing in the rain. Amen. I love listening to gospel music and sometimes old gospel music. I love listening to some of the black gospel artists of days gone by. Everybody's probably heard the name Mahalia Jackson. She was a, matter of fact, she was the granddaughter of slaves. Her grandparents were slaves. Mahalia Jackson, at the time she sang, she was so revered. And her song, but she's got some of the best quotes. I was reading some of the quotes she said today. And this was a quote somebody was asking her. She had a lot of talent. They asked her, they said, "Have you ever thought about trying to sing the blues?" Here's what Mahalia Jackson said. She said, "I'd rather sing God's music." She said, "Because when I sing God's music, it leaves me with hope." She said, "When I sing the blues and finish it, I've still got the blues." Can I say to you, I'm glad God created us. Amen. Thank God for your Bible, but thank God for them hymn books. Thank God for them songs down through the ages. Thank God for Amazing Grace and Rock of Ages. Hallelujah. Cleft for me. Thank God that God has given us a song to sing. It exemplifies the life of the child of God. As I read that article about those birds, this man said this. Matter of fact, singing in the rain has a magnifying effect. This is what he says. I read that article. He said, the reason that that bird sounds so loud when it's singing in the rain is not because the bird is any different or the song is any different. It's just that it's being magnified by the elements around it. In other words, those raindrops falling, when the sound waves that go to our ear goes through those raindrops, it has an amplifying effect. In other words, that bird was singing, and it sounded like somebody done set up a PA system for him. It wasn't because the song was any... I mean, the song wasn't any different. That's the same song he's been singing all his life. Oh, it wasn't because the bird was any different. He's just doing what he's created to do. But you know what made the song captivate my attention? You know what's going to make the song captivate the lost world's attention? It's when we're singing it, praise God, and God is magnifying it, and God is sending it forth. Hallelujah to His name. It's got a magnifying effect. you know as well as I do, some of those memorable testimonies you remember in your life are people who were in deep trials and they stood up and testified to the grace of Almighty God. I'll never forget years ago at the church, we had a lady who started coming to our church. Some people had invited her. She hadn't been in church in years, and she got right with God as she came to our church. I remember the Sunday morning, she came down the aisle just weeping. Sister Barbara, she is so happy after she got things right with God. She'd sing in the choir, and just tears had streamed down her face. She'd been there about a year, a little over a year, and she started getting a little bit sick, and they didn't know what was wrong. So she went to the doctor, and she started having headaches. And when they went to the doctor, they did some scans, and they came back with the news. They said, "You've got a brain tumor," and said, "We're going to have to do surgery to see if we can relieve the pressure." I was with the family that day when they came out. The doctors came out after the surgery. She'd had that brain tumor. And they came out and they told the family, said, "We're sorry." But said, "We got a lot of the tumor." But said, "This is the fast-moving kind of cancer she's got. And she's got at most 6 months to live." And they told the family. They were devastated that day. I was devastated. I went into the ICU unit where she was at, and after she recovered, of course, she was feeling some better because they had removed the tumor. And I said, "Miss Barb, how you doing?" She said, "I'm doing all right, Brother Leonard." She said, "Preacher said they told me they got most of that tumor. They hadn't told her the rest of the story." I said, "Well, that's good, Miss Barb. I'm glad. I'm glad for that." I said, "I just want you to know we're praying for you." And she said, "Now, as soon as I get able, I'm going to come back to church." I said, "Well, you take your time now." I said, "Don't you push yourself." It wasn't but a few weeks she was able to come back to church. Of course, they'd had to shave her head where they did the surgery, and she's wearing a little headband, I guess, bandana around her head. And that morning, she got up in the choir to sing. She's standing there in the choir. Man, we got singing a few songs. Folks got to testify. Somebody said, "Preacher, could I testify?" One lady said, I had to go to the doctor this week, and I got a good report, preacher. I got a good report, and we rejoiced about that. We're so happy about that. And then somebody else testified, "You know, my test came back good too, preacher. I want to thank the Lord for that." And all of a sudden, this lady standing there with her head shaved where she's had brain surgery, she said, "Can I testify, Brother Leonard?" I said, "Yeah." Just smile on her face, tears streaming down her cheeks. She said, I've got a good report. Jesus is watching over me." And that morning when she said that, I didn't know if I heard her right or not. And after I got home, I asked my wife, I said, "You got to tell me, today when Sister Barbara testified, did she say she got a good report?" I thought she had said she got a good report. My wife looked at me and said, no, honey. Said she didn't say she got a good report. She said she had a good report. When you know how to sing in the rain, you may not get a good report, but you can still have one because Jesus is watching over you. Hallelujah to His name. I sat beside her bed as she was getting ready to make the cross and read in the book of the Revelation about that city that it tells us about over there where there'll be no more pain. And hallelujah, she's there today. But let me tell you something right now. While she is here, she said, "You know what? It may be rain, and then the dark clouds may be hovered low, but I got a song. I want you to know that my Savior is taking care of me." Hallelujah. Like the song they sing, "I'm a winner either way." Hallelujah to His name. It's got a magnifying effect. It just... she wasn't any different. The testimony wasn't any different, but boy, it sure resonated in my soul. It's like God said, "Here, let me give this microphone." Oh yes, singing in the rain has a magnifying effect. Singing in the rain has a mystifying effect. What do you mean by that? I was reading that article, and this man said this. He said, when those birds sing in the rain. Matter of fact, that morning, I spent a good portion of the time I was sitting on the porch trying to figure out what tree that bird was in. And I was looking, I said, "That I believe he's over there. Sounds like he's over there right there." And I never could spot that bird. I looked and I looked and I looked, never could see him. Ain't that good? When you sing your song and they don't see you. They don't see you. They don't see you. I tell you this funny little thing. My little granddaughter, she's in preschool at First Baptist Church there in Mountain City. My wife has taught in that preschool for 28 years. And they had their graduation Sunday. And, of course, I went for at 2 o'clock for little kids graduating from preschool. And some of our families from our church were there. And, of course, they had children in that. And there's a little family that came for another kid that's in our church as well. And they've got a little girl. And when I walked in the building, they came. This was funny. They came to tell me this because it's funny. And that little youngin saw me walk in and looked at her parents and said, "Look, Jesus is here." That's what that little youngin said when it saw me. But I said, you know what? Wouldn't that be good if when we walked in the building, they said, "Look, Jesus is here." She didn't say, "Leonard's here, Brother Leonard's here." She said, "Jesus is here." Amen. You see, I never did see that bird, but I sure did hear his song, praise God. I'm going to tell you something right now. If we'll get back to the place that we're all about glorifying him, all of him and none of us. Oh, John said, "He must increase and I must decrease." Amen. But they said in that article, the reason I couldn't find that bird was, said, when that sound goes through those raindrops, it's kind of like the effect when light goes through raindrops. It refracts the light at a different angle. That's how we end up with rainbows. Said the same effect happens with sound. So in other words, you may hear that bird singing and you think it's coming from over here, when all actuality it could be over here. You don't know where the song's coming from. This world, when they see us go through the same trials they're going through, when they see us get bad news and they see, the afflictions of God's people, and they wonder why in the world we ain't drinking beer and why we ain't taking dope, and they wonder why we're not trying to drown our sorrows with something. They don't understand where our song is coming from. Oh, I don't need nothing in this world to ease my pain. All I need is the blessed Lamb of God to hold me up close in His arms, amen, and comfort me in my trials. Hallelujah to His name. It's got a mystifying effect. People look at they look and say, "How in the world? What have they got to praise God for? Everything's going wrong right now. They ain't got no hope, it don't look like. And how do they keep bragging on how good the Lord is?" You see, they don't understand where our songs are coming from. I've went into hospital rooms trying to be a blessing to some little saint of God, body racked with pain. And I'd get in there and they'd get to talking about the Lord. Next thing I know, I'm the one that got blessed. I'd leave a squalling, going down the hall a squalling. Some little saint of God laying in there from this perspective of this world. There's nothing good that they have to offer. They can't give them any hope. And yet all the while, they're still laying there talking about, "Boy, the Lord sure has been good to me. Oh, I got nothing bad to say about the Lord. He sure is." You know why? Because in the darkest days of your life, He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah. When the doctor says your family can't come in, God says, "Excuse me, I believe I'll just go." Amen. I'm here to tell you, praise God, aren't you glad that we can sing our song in the rainy times of life? It's talking about how singing our song exemplifies a child of God. Sometimes people say, "Well, you got to be saved 30 years before you have a song like that." Not really, no. A few weeks ago, I guess about a month ago, or a little over a month ago, a lady in my church came to me and she said, "Preacher, I need you to pray." And she called this man's name. And years ago, he used to live next to our church. But he'd had a rough life. I tried to reach out to him, tried to get him to come to the house of God. Matter of fact, I even wrote him a letter asking him, said, I'd love for you to come to church. I'd love to talk to you about your soul. But he never responded, wouldn't respond. He was an alcoholic. And he moved away, and I'd lost touch with him. And this lady, he actually used to be married into her family. But through all the drinking and all that, marriage had dissolved, and I'd lost track of him. And she came to me and said, Preacher, I wanted to ask you to pray for Jerry. And when she got, I said, okay. She said, he's been diagnosed with throat cancer. Said, he's in bad shape. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. And she said, yeah. I said, right now he's at home. But said, he has to take treatments. His sister has to come pick him up, take him for his treatments. And said, and I looked at her and I said, do you think he'd want me to come and see him? I said, if he would want me to, I'll go see him. She said, Preacher, I have a feeling he probably would. She said, you don't know this, but years ago when you wrote to him that letter, she said he carried that letter in his back pocket for months everywhere he went, that letter I wrote him. And I said, well, you find out if he don't care for me to come see him, and I'll go see him. He lives by himself. She came back. She said, yeah, he said he'd like for you to come. I said, a day, I said, well, I'm going to go up there. And I headed up there that day. It was on a Saturday. And I got in the office, storm it's ever been. I'm talking about it was hailing. It was about to beat the windows out of my truck. I mean, I thought it was in a tornado or something. And I said, man, if I get to his house, I can't even get out in this. So I said, I'll turn around and I'll go back later this evening. So I did. I turned around, went back home, told my wife what had happened. And so later that evening, I got back in my truck. I drove up to his house. There was no car there because he can't drive now. He barely can whisper because his voice box is just about gone. And I knocked on the door and didn't get any answer. Knocked and knocked and knocked. I went around to the other side. I knocked and knocked and knocked, and I didn't get any answer. And I thought, well, maybe they've got him on medicine or something, and he's falling asleep and he don't hear me. So I turned around and left that day. When I got back, I contacted this lady in my church. I said, I went to see Jerry. I said, but I knocked and knocked and knocked and never could get an answer. She said, well, I don't know what's going on. She said, I'll contact him. And she contacted him and told him, said, Preacher came to see you. He said, my sister had come and got me to take me to get my medicine at the drugstore. And when he found out I'd been there and left, she said he went to crying on the phone, afraid that I wouldn't come back. I said, you tell him I'll be back. And I went on Monday, and I got there, and when I got there, I knocked on the door. He came to the door. He was so nervous. I walked in, and I said, Jerry, I said, I'm sorry to hear you sick. I'm sorry things have gone bad for you in your life. And he could barely whisper. He said, yeah, yeah. I come in, we sat down. I said, Jerry, I said, I've been praying for you. I said, the main thing is I'm praying for your soul. And I said, Jerry, you're not saved. He said, no, I'm not saved. I said, do you have any church background? Have you ever been in church any in your life? He said, when I was a little boy, they took me a few times, but other than that, no. I said, so we're starting from ground level here. I began to tell him about Jesus. I began to tell him what the Lord did. It was right after Easter that I was up there. And I said, Jerry, I said, this past weekend's Easter Sunday. I said, man, what a day that was. Because I said, the gospel is this, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I said, Jesus got up out of the grave. And I said, this is part of it. I said, when Jesus was on the cross, I said, you know what? The Bible said when he said it's finished, that the veil was rent from top to bottom. And I said, now, Jerry, what that means is this. I said, under the Old Testament, the high priest would have to go in once a year, and he'd have to go into the Holy of Holies back there to take an animal sacrifice, blood sacrifice. And I said, it was such a serious thing that everybody stood outside with bated breath, wondering if God was going to accept it. They even had to tie a cord around his leg in case God didn't accept it and killed him. They could pull him out. And I said, it was that serious. But I said, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, God said, the veil is now rent. He said, man ain't doing it, I'm taking it away. And I said, because he did that, I said, now me and you both can go into the Holy of Holies. Me and you both can go into the throne room of God. I said, we can have his salvation. We can have his righteousness. Hallelujah. He sat there in wide-eyed wonder. I said, Jerry, do you want to be saved? He said, I'd like to. And we knelt there in his living room floor. The old boy gave his heart to the Lord, weeping. You see, all his drinking buddies are gone now. They're nowhere to be found. But guess who showed up? Somebody with a song in his heart. The old boy got saved that day, and he just said, thank me. He just said, thank you, preacher. About a week after that, I said, you know, I'm going to take Jerry a Bible up there and give it to him. I went down to the church, and we have some Bibles that we give new converts. I said, I'm going to get him a Bible and take it up there. When I got there, knocked and knocked, couldn't get no answer again. So I stuck it in the door with a note. And I told, when I later found out that his sister had taken him for treatments that day, and I told Sister Tony, I said, you tell him I left him a Bible and a book in that door there. And I highlighted verses in the scriptures that I knew would be a help and a comfort to him. And I went back up there a few days after that, and he was home, and I knocked on the door, and he let me in. He was so happy to see me. Went in and sat down. I said, how you doing? He said, well, I'm doing okay. He said, I'm supposed to go back this week. He said, I'm supposed to go back this week, and they're going to tell me how long I've got left. And when he said that, he smiled real big. Now, he just said, they're going to tell me how much time I've got left, and a big old grin come on his face.
Yes. Amen.
He ain't been saved long, but he's already singing.
What about that? Amen. Amen. Amen.
And he looked at that Bible. I said, I see you got your Bible. Had his glasses laying on top of it. He said, yeah. He said, I wouldn't take $1,000 for that Bible. It was just a $20 Bible. He said, I wouldn't take $1,000. Can I say to you right now, singing in the rain is a mystery to this world. They don't understand. Last of all, singing in the rain has a testifying effect. That fellow writing that story said, after the cold winter, after those birds have migrated out and they've come back to the area they're coming back to, he said, a lot of times what they'll do, that bird that's going to sing the loudest will climb to the highest tree it can find. It'll get on the highest perch it can find and start singing its song. In other words, that bird comes back and climbs up on it and says, I got a word of testimony I want to tell you about. The winter's over and gone. The dark clouds have moved out. And springtime is on the way. Amen. Aren't you glad that we can sing in the rain? Father, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for how you've helped us. Lord, I pray you'd take this message, Lord, magnify it tonight in the ears of those who hear. God, help us all to realize you created us to praise you. God, you created us. Lord, you created us even for the dark days to give you glory. And God, I pray, would you help us all, Lord, in this dark time? May the lost world hear our song. And God, they may not know where it's coming from, but God, may they hear the testimonies of the children of God. God, may you get glory in this moment of time. And Father, we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed. As they get a song to sing, if you need to come, if you want to come tonight, it might be you say, preacher, I want God to help me. If there's one thing I want to do, I want to just keep singing in the rain. I want God to help me through the hard times and through the difficulties that I'll give Him.